Well, we're getting ready, as Brother Tim said, to enter into our missions week. And you see the flags that are out representing different countries. And I hope you'll stop by on your way out if you didn't see these coming in and pick up one of the brochures, little booklets about our missions conference. And it has the theme, True Worship Produces True Witness. And we're trying to do our best this year to get people out for these activities so that even the missions conference would be an outreach, a way of outreach to reach some people with the gospel. And those activities, you have that material that's been passed out and also that is reflected in this brochure. We have our song that is here and the verses that we're using for it. And then the conference itinerary, the assignments. Our speaker, our main speaker, is Louis Ramos. Brother Ramos founded the Bible Baptist Church in San Luis Potosi, Mexico, and has a membership of over 2,000 people. And he's a very exciting speaker. We're looking forward to having him. And the Haynes family, missionaries to Kurdistan. These are new missionaries that are on deputation, the Mann family, missionaries to Hungary, and then the Prady family, they're veteran missionaries, IBFI missionaries, missionaries to Honduras. And we have a list of all of our missionaries in there, and I'd encourage you to take that and use it as your prayer list and pray for our missionaries, and then some articles about faith promise. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, is the faith promise offering. Last year, we started our faith promise offering, and the commitments that were made, you'll see in the beacon you have today, that's just a little short of that, but we have this week, and that's going to take care of it, and I believe that'll put us over our commitment level, those that actually committed. Our goal this year is to commit to over $300,000. And we're already on our commitments last year, 296 plus, and so we thank the Lord for that. But let me talk to you about faith promise missions. That's new to us to some degree. We use that in Together We Grow, and we use that in our last fundraiser when we did the Walk Worthy fundraising. And so that was done on the basis of faith, and people gave and made those commitments. So we're familiar with that aspect. But Faith Promise Missions was a little different. And I want to go over this with you again, because to some it still may be a little vague. And certainly to all of us it can remind us of what it's all about. So if you look at 2 Corinthians now, you have your Bibles turned there. 2 Corinthians 9. I'm going to read verses 6 through 8 and just sort of keep your place around there, because we'll be going back to some verses there and some other verses that we want to share with you as we go through the faith promise offering and refreshing our mind about what it really is. Faith promise offering is a biblical method, and that's good to underscore those two words, biblical method. It is a biblical method for raising funds for missions, and we all know what that is, and world evangelism. We have home missions, we have foreign missions, but the idea is world evangelism, reaching people all over the world with the gospel. There are people all over the world that don't have the gospel. There are pockets in the United States where there's no real Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches. They may have a few liberal, ritualistic, traditional type churches that do not preach the gospel, and they're given more to liturgy and all of that. But we need to get the gospel out, and so this is a biblical method for raising funds for missions and world evangelism. Now let's look at these verses in 2 Corinthians 9, 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Now, the farmers would certainly understand that. People who have gardens understand that. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. That's the principle of the Word of God. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow bountifully, reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Don't feel forced to do it. For God loveth a cheerful giver. God wants it to come cheerfully from our hearts. We want to do it. We understand the principle, and it gets a hold of our heart and our minds, our hearts and our minds, and we want to do that. And God is able, verse 8, to make all grace abound toward you. The word grace there means favor, that he will help you, something you don't deserve or earn, but God provides for you. That's what grace really is. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That we're serving the Lord and doing what God would want us to do. So let me say, first of all, that it is not a gimmick. Faith promise is not some pastoral idea that has come up in pastors' minds to trick you into giving to worldwide missions. It is not a gimmick. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 10, look at verse 10, and then in verse 10, now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. This is a principle of the Word of God, and he teaches us that. In chapter 8, in verse 10, herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward. And notice the timing, a year ago. And look at chapter 9 and verse 2. Chapter 9 and verse 2, 2 Corinthians. For I know the forwardness of your minds, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. So we have instances here. We have the principle, and we have two instances backing that up, where these people, by faith, gave and made their commitment even a year in advance, which is biblical to do. Now, that was something that this church in Achaia was willing to do, and they understood that principle, and that's the principle we need to understand. And it had both benevolent and missions ideas and implications with it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verses 15 and 16. Let's go there. Benevolence and missions implications. Chapter 10, verse 15. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. He's simply saying that we need to understand that these offerings are offerings that are given and should be above and beyond what you normally would already have and would already give. And it's a benevolent and missions implication offering that God shows us here. Now, the Macedonian believers supported Paul. If you'll turn over just a second to Philippians chapter 4, you'll see that they helped Paul out. And verses 15 and 16, you'll see it there, Philippians chapter 4. He says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me. He's talking about giving money, as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity or my need. Paul was a missionary, and they helped him out, the local churches. And, of course, the church at Achaia was doing the very same thing. And so it's not a gimmick. It's a biblical principle. You see it saturated. There are other verses that teach that we do it. We give to missions. We give to the benevolent causes, and we do it by faith, and we even do it ahead of time according to these verses of Scripture. So it's not a gimmick. Secondly, it should be over and above your tithes and offerings. It should be over and above your tithes and offerings. This is a faith promise missions offering. Now, what is a tithe? Everybody should, of course, know what the tithe is. It's 10% of your gross income, not what's left over, but you give 10%. You say, well, that's Old Testament legalism. No, that's New Testament, what Jesus said. And he said, these things ought you to have done. And he was talking about the tithe. In Malachi, how are we going to rob God? They said, well, your tithes and offerings. So 10% is the tithe. That's a given. It's just a matter of math, figuring out 10% of your gross income, whatever that may be, whatever you get in. That is certainly something that is fair to all people. It's fair to the widow lady. It's fair to the multimillionaire. It's fair to everybody. This is God's principle. And so that is a given. Offerings are given out of what we already have. The tithe is figured mathematically, and then offerings, it's what you already have, and you give out of those offerings to the Lord's work as God impresses you to do that. But then faith promise missions offering is different from those two things. There's a similarity in the giving, but the faith promise is separate from that, and these are above and beyond your tithes and your offerings. We're going to have the cards out, and you'll have these next week, where we're asking you to make a commitment ahead of time by faith of what you're going to do. But on the adult cards, we have two little blocks at the top. One says, I am presently tithing. Well, certainly that should be checked. Everybody ought to be tithing. That's a given. But then the next one, by God's grace, I will start tithing. And we're not even going to count in our goal the faith promise part that you may put down if you don't check the part that you're tithing. Because that's first in order, and then we come behind in our offerings after that, and then our faith promise, and it all works together. But we want people that are not robbing God to participate in the missions offering. We want people that are tithing, and then people that by faith are going to be giving to faith promise missions. And that is above your and beyond your tithes and offerings. Faith promise is given by faith. It's given by faith. Well, what do you mean, preacher? Well, you don't give out of what you already have. That's not the idea. The idea is you can't see it. You don't know how it's going to happen. But by faith, and you know what the Bible says in Hebrews about faith, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? So if you can see it, it's not by faith. If you can figure it out, it's not by faith. This is something you step out by faith and say, I can't see how in the world I will do this. But I believe the principles of the Word of God, and I'm going to do it. It's not a gimmick. It's above your tithes and offerings. It is a commitment that is given by faith. And then you don't wait until God gives it to you to give it. That's not the idea. You go on and give it by faith, and you believe that God will supply that need as you go along. You continue to give it, continue to give it, continue to give it. And it's an exciting thing to watch and see how God supplies what you're already giving by faith. Not by sight, but by faith. Some of the most exciting things that my wife and I have experienced have been in the area of faith giving, and especially in the area of missions, faith promise giving, and how God honors that, how exciting it is when you see God do that. And it makes you understand how powerful God is and how real God is and how God honors His Word in our giving. And He does that. And so we give by faith, not by sight, but by faith, believing that God is going to channel it to us and God is going to provide it. And we go ahead and give it by faith ahead of time. And then faith promise is not designated for one missionary. Some people want to designate their giving and designate it to one missionary, and that's not a good practice. Actually, the government says you're not supposed to do that. You give it to missions and then you're able to do missionaries are able to be provided for. Now, there may be some special projects that come up, and we do that, and that is permissible as far as I can understand the IRS ruling, but we shouldn't designate our missions giving to a select few missionaries. We should give to Faith Promise missions. Here's the problem with doing it that way. It can cause one missionary to have an abundance of money and then another missionary to have to suffer and do without. And that isn't right. So we give it Faith Promise giving, and then it is distributed, and God leads the leadership and other churches so that the needs are met by all of these missionaries. And I believe that's the most biblical way to do it. And by law, you're not really supposed to designate. There's some complications that come in with that. And we have that certainly taught to us by CLA, Christian Law Association, and the David Gibbs III. And so we know that that's correct legally. Then Faith Promise is not a pledge. Let me get that in there so you understand that. The promise is not made to me or anybody else. It's made between you and God. Now, I used to be a Southern Baptist years ago, and the Lord led me out of the Southern Baptist Convention through the influence of my uncle and some others, and I'm thankful that he did. But I remember they used to take pledges, and they would actually come to your house, and they would say, how much are you going to pledge to the church this year? Just to the local church or whatever. And then if you didn't fulfill the pledge, they'd write you a letter. They have a committee that would pick up the phone and call you and say, where's your pledge? You said you were going to give this. You hadn't been giving it, and we want you to give it. And I can remember an instance when they did that to my dad, and there was quite a bit going on then. And he told them that, that he was not going to make a pledge. And he had certain specific reasons. It had to do with some liberal things, and he wasn't going to do it. Well, that sort of upsets them. But this is not a pledge. Understand, it's not a pledge to the church where somebody's going to monitor it and call you or write you a letter and tell you you haven't been giving your faith promise. It is a promise. That's what it's called, faith promise between you and God. Your name is not even on the card. It's between you and God. We only ask for the card so that we can visualize and show you what God does with our faith promise, and that's a good thing to do. But after the commitments are made, the cards are disposed of. Nobody's going to be looking at it and seeing it and bothering you and writing you or calling you and saying, where's your pledge? It's not a pledge. It is a promise between you as an individual and God. And then faith promise is not giving according to your ability, but giving by faith. 2 Corinthians 8:3, chapter 8, verse 3, he says, referring to these people in Macedonia, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. In other words, they gave beyond their power. They couldn't see it, but they gave by faith. They gave beyond their power. And so that's not giving according to our ability, but giving beyond that, giving it by faith. Again, he emphasizes that. Here's the thing. God is able. You say, well, I don't see it. I can't figure it out. Don't try to. Just look to God, make your commitment, and know that God is able. How many of you believe God's able to do anything God wants to do? And how many of you believe that he's able to increase your supply if he wants to? He can. There's no question about it. And so you give it, and then you watch God. And God will work, and he will increase your supply. God's able to do that. And I don't have time to tell you a number of stories, but I can remember the first time we made our commitment, how God led somebody by our home that we didn't even really know. And he brought us some things every week, and some milk, I think, and eggs, and whatever else, Carolyn, you remind me of some of those things from time to time. But anyway, it was exciting to see what God did and a few other things that happened because God is able and he increased our supply. Deuteronomy 8:18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Listen to this, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Who gives you the power to do better and to have a greater supply? God does. So if you do it by faith and put him first, then God, by his own testimony and promise, is obligated to bless you in some measure and to fulfill it. It is God that giveth thee power to get wealth. And this is not, let me be clear, this is not prosperity theology. It's not this name it and claim it stuff. And you have a lot of that on television today. And, you know, if you just think right, then you're going to be healthy all the time. You know, tell that to people that are in a wheelchair that have great faith, that know the Lord, and they pray, and it's God's will. You know, tell Tim Lee he's going to be healthy all the time. You know, this prosperity theology, and if you give, God's going to give you a Rolls Royce and a Rolex watch and all those things. That's not what we're talking about. It is a simple thing by faith where you give it and you just watch God take care of that and provide for that so that world missions is taken care of. It's not this name it and claim it stuff that you have on television by these prosperity theologians who, by the way, are doing pretty good. And then God can give you the ability to decrease spending. I suppose that might be something that all of us could consider. But God might convict us and show us, this is how I can decrease spending. And that might be part of the way he provides it. He can do these things for us. And he can give wisdom to be good stewards with what we already have. Be very careful and use it very carefully. Sometimes when we are blessed, we get a little lax in using our blessings, financially and otherwise, and we can pull that back in and focus a little more on being good stewards. Most of us could order one meal at a restaurant and split it and be better off health-wise, couldn't we? But there are a lot of different ways that God can show us that we can do that. And then certainly he can give us the ability to sacrifice and perform the supernatural. God can do that. Mark 10:27. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. And here it is, for with God all things are possible. And we say we believe that. We say we believe that. But when it comes to faith, promise giving, and missions, do we really believe that? That we give it by faith and God is able to channel it through us and use it for his glory. And I believe he is. And then faith giving is motivated, should be motivated, as we've already read, by love. It should be by love. 2 Corinthians 8:8, he says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. Do you love Jesus? Do you love God? Do you love God's plan? Do you love reaching lost souls, seeing them saved and kept out of hell, seeing them, giving them the opportunity at least to make up their minds and decide whether they're going to go to heaven or hell or receive or reject the Lord Jesus Christ? And we know that we should give, and that love ought to be our motive. Why should we give? Well, Matthew 28:18-20, the Lord tells us that. He tells us that we're to go, and we're to preach and teach and baptize and then teach those people to do the very same thing. We have we call it the Great Commission, or the mandate from God, that we are to go and people are to go, and especially missionaries as they go, but we have to be sure that the funds are there. That's just a given. They cannot go on hot air. I mean, they've got to have funds in order to be able to function. Some countries require more monthly, some less monthly, and some somewhere in between, but they all require that the funds are provided in order to not only live, but to have the work fund for the church and for all of those things until they are able to train them and teach them in those same things. But we're to give and follow the Great Commission. It is obedience. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so I think this would come into that category in the sense that we are to be sure that missionaries are going and that they go and we obey them because we love that. And then we have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, and he was, yet for your sakes, my sake and your sake, yet for your sakes, he became what? Poor. Jesus became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Not necessarily money, but saved, and on our way to heaven, our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are rich. If you're saved today, you're wealthy. You're wealthy with spiritual wealth and spiritual blessings, and you have a possession that many people in the world, most people in the world, do not have. You have eternal life. It's yours. When you die, you're going to heaven. Amen. What a wonderful possession. But Jesus became poor that we might become rich, and that we could even receive the blessings that we receive from him day by day and week after week. And then, not only because of the Great Commission, well, to give and obedience and the example of Christ, but because of God's blessings on you. Because of God's blessings on you. You say, well, preacher, I'm not rich. Well, probably most people in here aren't rich. Maybe none of us are what we'd call rich. But that's not the issue anyway. But listen, America makes up 5% of the world's population, about 5%. Of the world's population, of all the world, America. About 5% of the world's population, and yet it has 51%, or maybe even more, of the world's wealth. 5% of the population, 51% in America, of the world's wealth. And compared to people all over the rest of the world and most places, some exceptions, but so many of the countries and so much of the population, billions of people who are poor. I mean, they're poor. They may get $2 a week. They may, and you say, yeah, but they can buy cheap. Oh, no, they can't. In some cases, what they have to buy is even higher than what we can get it here. And, you know, they don't have Walmart around some of those stores like that. They just don't have it. But I'm just saying, we need to consider that fact. Most of us could do without a whole lot more than we do. We could live a whole lot more frugally and be able to give and lay up treasures in heaven. Most of us are very preoccupied with laying up treasures down here, but we need to lay them up in heaven. This is one way we can do it. 5% of the world's population, over 51% of the world's wealth, is in America. We'll close out with 2 Corinthians 8. Look at verses 13 and 14. He says, for I mean not that other men be eased, and you burdened, ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and I think especially their spiritual want and need, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. And I think God is just reminding us we're blessed above other people in the world, and we have a responsibility to give by faith to see that other people hear the gospel and get saved, and they don't have to die and go to hell. Hell is a horrible place, amen? Don't you want people around the world to be saved? We should. If our heart is right with God, we will want that. And we'll do something about it. Father, thank you for your word. It's clear, and we want to go by it. I pray that our people would prayerfully consider this week as they're praying about what to give, that you would lay upon their hearts the amount, and that it would be an amount given by faith, not by sight. And I pray you would help each one of us to consult you, to ask you, and then do what you lead us to do from our hearts, out of love, obeying you. In Christ's name, amen.